Chapter 129. Drive shaft and CV joint service. U-joint diagnosis. Background. The drive shaft of a typical rear-wheel drive vehicle rotates about 3 times faster than the wheels. This is due to the gear reduction that occurs in the differential. The differential not only provides gear reduction but also allows for a difference in the speed of the rear wheels that is necessary whenever turning a corner. The drive shaft rotates at the same speed as the engine if the transmission ratio is 1:1. The engine speed, in revolutions per minute, or RPM, is transmitted through the transmission at the same speed. In lower gears, the engine speed is many times faster than the output of the transmission. Most transmissions today, both manual and automatic, have an overdrive gear. This means that at highway speeds, the drive shaft is rotating faster than the engine. The engine speed is decreased or overdriven to help reduce engine speed and improve fuel economy. Symptoms of defective U-joints. The drive shaft must travel up and down as the vehicle moves over bumps and dips in the road while rotating and transmitting engine power to the drive wheels. The drive shaft and universal joints should be carefully inspected whenever any of the following problems or symptoms occur. Number 1. Vibration or harshness at highway speed. Chapter. Hash. 2. A clicking sound whenever the vehicle is moving either forward or in reverse. And. Number 3. A clunking sound whenever changing gears, such as moving from drive to reverse. Case study. The squeaking pickup truck. The owner of a pickup truck complained that a squeaking noise occurred while driving in reverse. The EEE sound increased in frequency as the truck increased in speed, yet the noise did not occur when driving forward. Because there was no apparent looseness in the U-joints, the service technician at first thought that the problem was inside either the transmission or the rear axle. When the drive shaft was removed to further investigate the problem, it became obvious where the noise was coming from. The U-joint needle bearing had worn the cross-shaft bearing surface of the U-joint. See Figure 129-1. The noise occurred only in reverse because the wear had occurred in the forward direction, and therefore only when the torque was applied in the opposite direction did the needle bearing become bound up and start to make noise. A replacement U-joint solved the squeaking noise in reverse. The summary. The complaint. Customer complained of squeaking sound but only while driving in reverse. The cause, a worn U-joint was found to be the cause. The correction, the worn U-joint was replaced and the noise issue was corrected. Refer to Figure 129-1. Notice how the needle bearings have worn grooves, called brinelling, into the bearing surface of the U-joint. Drive shaft and U-joint inspection. The drive shaft should be inspected for the following. Number 1. Any dents or creases caused by incorrect hoisting of the vehicle or by road debris. Caution, a dented or creased drive shaft can collapse, especially when the vehicle is under load. This collapse of the drive shaft can cause severe damage to the vehicle and may cause an accident. Number 2. Undercoating, grease, or dirt buildup on the drive shaft can cause vibrations. And. Number 3. Undercoating should be removed using a suitable solvent and a rag. Always dispose of used rags properly. The U-joints should be inspected every time the vehicle chassis is lubricated, or 4 times a year. Original equipment U-joints are permanently lubricated and have no provision for greasing. If there is a grease fitting, the U-joint should be lubricated by applying grease with a grease gun. See Figures 129-2 and 129-3. In addition to periodic lubrication, the drive shaft should be grabbed and moved to see if there is any movement of the U-joints. If any movement is noticed when the drive shaft is moved, the U-joint is worn and must be replaced. Note, U-joints are not serviceable items and cannot be repaired. If worn or defective, they must be replaced. U-joints can be defective and still not show noticeable free movement. A proper U-joint inspection can be performed only by removing the drive shaft from the vehicle. Before removing the drive shaft, always mark the position of all mating parts to ensure proper reassembly. White correction fluid, also known as whiteout or liquid paper, is an easy and fast drying marking material. See Figure 129-4. To remove the drive shaft from a rear wheel drive vehicle, remove the 4 fasteners at the rear U-joint at the differential. See Figure 129-5. Push the drive shaft forward toward the transmission and then down and toward the rear of the vehicle. The drive shaft should slip out of the transmission spline and can be removed from underneath the vehicle. Note, with the drive shaft removed, transmission lubricant can leak out of the rear extension housing. To prevent a mess, Use an old spline the same size as the one being removed or place a plastic bag over the extension housing to hold any escaping lubricant. A rubber band can be used to hold the bag onto the extension housing. To inspect U-joints, move each joint through its full travel, making sure it can move, articulate, freely and equally in all directions. See Figure 129-6. Refer to Figure 129-2. All U-joints and spline collars equipped with a grease fitting should be greased 4 times a year as part of a regular lubrication service. Refer to Figure 129-3. Many U-joints require a special grease gun tool to reach the grease fittings. Refer to Figure 129-4. Always mark the original location of U-joints before disassembly. Refer to Figure 129-5. Two types of retaining methods that are commonly used at the rear U-joint at the differential. U-joint replacement. All movement in a U-joint should occur between the trunnions and the needle bearings in the end caps. The end caps are press fit to the yokes, which are welded to the drive shaft. Three types of retainers are used to keep the bearing caps on the U-joints: the outside snap ring, see Figure 129-7, the inside retaining ring, and injected synthetic, usually nylon. See Figure 129-8. After removing the retainers, use a press or a vise to separate the U-joint from the yoke. See Figure 129-9. U-joints that use synthetic retainers must be separated using a press and a special tool to press onto both sides of the joint in order to shear the plastic retainer, as shown in Figure 129-11. Replacement U-joints use spring clips instead of injected plastic. Remove the old U-joint from the yoke, as shown in Figure 129-12, and replace with a new U-joint. Replacement U-joints should be forged, never cast, and use up to 32 needle bearings, also called pin bushings, instead of just 24 needle bearings, as used in lower quality U-joints. Replacement U-joints usually have a grease fitting so that the new replacement U-joint can be properly lubricated. See Figure 129-13. After removing any dirt or burrs from the yoke, press in a new U-joint. Rotate the new joint after installation to make sure it moves freely, without binding or stiffness. If a U-joint is stiff, it can cause a vibration. Note: if a U-joint is slightly stiff after being installed, strike the U-joint using a brass punch and a light hammer. This often frees a stiff joint and is often called relieving the joint. The shock aligns the needle bearings in the end caps. Refer to Figure 129-6. The best way to check any U-joint is to remove the drive shaft from the vehicle and move each joint in all directions. A good U-joint should be free to move without binding. Refer to Figure 129-7. Typical U-joint that uses an outside snap ring. This style of joint bolts directly to the companion flange that is attached to the pinion gear in the differential. Refer to Figure 129-8. A U-joint that is held together by nylon and usually requires that heat be applied to remove from the yoke. Refer to Figure 129-9. Use a vise and 2 sockets to remove a U-joint. One socket fits over the bearing cup and the other fits on the bearing to press fit the cups from the crosspiece. Refer to Figure 129-10. Taping the U-joint to prevent the caps from coming off. Refer to Figure 129-11. A special tool being used to press apart a U-joint that is retained by injected plastic. Heat from a propane torch may be necessary to soften the plastic to avoid exerting too much force on the U-joint. Refer to Figure 129-12. Removing the worn cross from the yoke. Tech tip: use tape to be safe. When removing a drive shaft, use tape to prevent the rear U-joint caps from falling off. If the caps fall off the U-joint, all of the needle bearings will fall out and scatter over the floor. See Figure 129-10. Refer to Figure 129-13. When installing a new U-joint, position the grease fitting on the inboard side, toward the drive shaft tube, and in alignment with the grease fitting of the U-joint at the other end. U-joint working angles. Unequal or incorrect U-joint working angles can cause severe vibrations. Drive shaft and U-joint angles may change from the original factory setting due to one or more of the following. Number 1. Defective or collapsed engine or transmission mounts. Number 2. Defective or sagging springs, especially the rear springs due to overloading or other causes. Number 3. Accident damage or other changes to the chassis of the vehicle. And number 4. Vehicle modification that raises or lowers the ride height. Replace any engine or transmission mount that is cracked or collapsed. When a mount collapses, the engine drops from its original location. Now the driveshaft angles are changed and a vibration may be felt. Rear springs often sag after many years of service or after being overloaded. This is especially true of pickup trucks. Many people carry as much as the cargo bed can hold, often exceeding the factory recommended carry capacity or gross vehicle weight of the vehicle. To measure U-joint and driveshaft angles, the vehicle must be hoisted using an axle contact or drive-on type lift so as to maintain the same driveshaft angles as the vehicle has while being driven. The working angles of the two U-joints on a driveshaft should be within half of a degree of each other in order to cancel out speed changes. See Figure 129-14. To measure the working angle of a U-joint, follow these steps. Step 1. Place an inclinometer, a tool used to measure angles, on the rear U-joint bearing cap. Level the bubble and read the angle. See Figure 129-15. The pictured reading is 19.5 degrees. Step 2. Rotate the driveshaft 90 degrees and read the angle of the rear yoke. For example, this reading is 17 degrees. Step 3. Subtract the smaller reading from the larger reading to obtain the working angle of the joint. In this example, it is 2.5 degrees. 19.5 degrees minus 17 degrees equals 2.5 degrees. Repeat the same procedure for the front U-joint. The front and rear working angles should be within 0.5 degrees. If the two working angles are not within 0.5 degrees, shims can be added to bring the two angles closer together. The angle of the rear joint is changed by installing a tapered shim between the leaf spring and the axle, as shown in Figure 129-16. Caution. Use caution whenever using wedges between the differential and the rear leaf spring to restore the correct U-joint working angle. Even though wedges are made to raise the front of the differential, the tilt often prevents rear end lubricant from reaching the pinion bearing, resulting in pinion bearing noise and eventual failure. The angle of the front joint is changed by adding or removing shims from the mount under the transmission. Sometimes the drive shaft working angles can change due to wear or failure of the engine or transmission mounts. See Figure 129-17. Refer to Figure 129-14. The working angle of most U-joints should be at least half of a degree, to permit the needle bearing to rotate in the U-joints, and should not exceed 3 degrees or a vibration can occur in the driveshaft, especially at higher speeds. The difference between the front and rear working angles should be within half of a degree of each other. Refer to Figure 129-15. An inclinometer with a magnetic base is being used to measure the angle of the driveshaft at the rear U-joint. Refer to Figure 129-16. Placing a tapered metal wedge between the rear leaf spring and the rear axle pedestal to correct rear U-joint working angles. Refer to Figure 129-17. A transmission oil pan gasket leak allowed automatic transmission fluid to saturate the rear transmission mount rubber, causing it to collapse. After replacing the defective mount, proper driveshaft angles were restored and the driveline vibration was corrected. CV joint diagnosis. When a CV joint wears or fails, the most common symptom is noise while driving. An outer fixed CV joint will most likely be heard when turning sharply and accelerating at the same time. This noise is usually a clicking sound. While inner joint failure is less common, a defective inner CV joint often creates a loud clunk while accelerating from rest. To help verify a defective joint, drive the vehicle in reverse while turning and accelerating. This almost always will reveal a defective outer joint. Replacement shaft assemblies. Front-wheel drive vehicles were widely used in Europe and Japan long before they became popular in North America. The standard repair procedure used in these countries is the replacement of the entire drive assembly if there is a CV joint failure. Replacement boot kits are rarely seen in Europe because it is felt that even a slight amount of dirt or water inside a CV joint is unacceptable. Vehicle owners simply wait until the joint wear causes severe noise, and then the entire assembly is replaced. The entire drive axle shaft assembly can easily be replaced and the defective unit can be sent to a company for remanufacturing. Even though cost to the customer is higher, the parts and repair shop does not have to inventory every type, size, and style of boot kit and CV joint. Service procedures and practices therefore vary according to location and the availability of parts. For example, some service technicians use replacement drive axle assemblies from salvage yards with good success. Note: some drive axle shafts have a weight attached between the inner and outer CV joints. This is a dampener weight. It is not a balance weight, and it need not be transferred to the replacement drive axle shaft, or half shaft, unless instructed to do so in the directions that accompany the replacement shaft assembly. Tech tip: quick and easy backlash test. Whenever a driveline clunk is being diagnosed, one possible cause is excessive backlash, or clearance, between the ring gear teeth and differential pinion teeth in the differential. Another common cause of excessive differential backlash is too much clearance between differential carrier pinion teeth and side gear teeth. A quick test to check backlash involves three easy steps. Step 1. Hoist the vehicle on a frame contact lift, allowing the drive wheels to be rotated. Step 2. Have an assistant hold one drive wheel and the drive shaft to keep them from turning. Step 3. Move the other drive wheel, observing how far the tire can rotate. This is the amount of backlash in the differential. It should be less than 1 inch, or 25 millimeters, of movement measured at the tire. If the tire can move more than 1 inch, or 25 millimeters, then the differential should be inspected for wear and parts should be replaced as necessary. If the tire moves less than 1 inch, or 25 millimeters, then the backlash between the ring gear and pinion is probably not the cause of the noise. CV joint service. The hub nut must be removed whenever servicing a CV joint or shaft assembly on a front-wheel drive vehicle. Since these nuts are usually torqued to almost 200 pounds foot, or 260 nanometers, keep the vehicle on the ground until the hub nut is loosened and then follow these steps, see figure 129-18. Step 1. Remove the front wheel and hub nut. Note: most manufacturers warn against using an air impact wrench to remove the hub nut. The impacting force can damage the hub bearing. Step 2. To allow the knuckle room to move outward enough to remove the drive axle shaft, some or all of the following will have to be disconnected. A. Lower ball joint or pinch bolt, see figure 129-19. B. Tie rod end, see figure 129-20. C. Stabilizer bar link. D. Front disc brake caliper. Step 3. Remove the splined end of the axle from the hub bearing. Sometimes a special puller may be necessary, but in most cases the shaft can be tapped inward through the hub. Bearing with a light hammer and a brass punch can be used. To protect the threads of the drive axle shaft, install the hub nut temporarily. See figures 129-21 and 129-22. Step 4. Use a pry bar or special tool with a slide hammer, as shown in figure 129-23. And remove the inner joint from the transaxle. Step 5. Disassemble, clean, and inspect all components. See figures 129-24 through 129-30. Step 6. Replace the entire joint if there are any worn parts. Pack all the grease that is supplied into the assembly or joint. See figure 129-31. Assemble the joint and position the boot in the same location as marked. Before clamping the last seal on the boot, be sure to release trapped air to prevent the boot from expanding when heated and collapsing when cold. This is sometimes called burping the boot. Clamp the boot according to the manufacturer's specifications. Step 7. Reinstall the drive axle shaft in the reverse order of removal, and torque the drive axle nut to factory specifications. See figure 129-32. Refer to figure 129-18. The hub nut must be removed before the hub bearing assembly or drive axle shaft can be removed from the vehicle. Refer to figure 129-19. Many knuckles are attached to the ball joint on the lower control arm by a pinch bolt. Refer to figure 129-20. The preferred method for separating the tire rod end from the steering knuckle is to use a puller such as the one shown. A pickle fork type tool should be used only if the tie rod is going to be replaced. A pickle fork type tool can damage or tear the rubber grease boot. Striking the tie rod end with a hammer while holding another hammer behind the joint to shock and break the taper from the steering knuckle can also be used. Refer to figure 129-21. Many drive axles are retained by prevailing torque nut that must not be reused. Prevailing torque nuts are slightly deformed or contain a plastic insert that holds the nut tight, retains the torque, to the shaft without loosening. Refer to figure 129-22. A special General Motors tool is being used to separate the drive axle shaft from the wheel hub bearing. Refer to figure 129-23. Most inner CV joints can be separated from the transaxle with a pry bar. Tech tip: spline bind cure. Driveline clunk often occurs in rear-wheel drive vehicles when shifting between drive and reverse or when accelerating from a stop. Often the cause of this noise is excessive clearance in the differential. Another cause is called spline bind, where the changing rear pinion angle creates a binding in the spline when the rear springs change in height. For example, When a pickup truck stops, the weight transfers toward the front and unloads the rear springs. The front of the differential noses downward and forward as the rear springs unload. When the driver accelerates forward, the rear of the truck squats downward, causing the drive shaft to be pulled rearward when the front of the differential rotates upward. This upward movement on the spline often causes the spline to bind and make a loud clunk when the bind is finally released. The method recommended by vehicle manufacturers to eliminate this noise is to follow these steps. Number 1. Remove the drive shaft. Number 2. Clean the splines on both the drive shaft yoke and the transmission output shaft. Number 3. Remove any burrs on the splines with a small metal file. Remove all filings. Number 4. Apply a high temperature grease to the spline teeth of the yoke. Apply grease to each spline, but do not fill the splines. Synthetic chassis grease is preferred because of its high temperature resistance. And Number 5. Reinstall the drive shaft. Refer to Figure 129-24. When removing a drive axle shaft assembly, use care to avoid pulling the plunge joint apart. Refer to Figure 129-25. If other service work requires that just one end of the drive axle shaft be disconnected from the vehicle, be sure that the free end is supported to prevent damage to the protective boots or allowing the joint to separate. Refer to Figure 129-26. With a scribe, mark the location of the boots before removal. The replacement boots must be in the same location. Refer to Figure 129-27. Most CV joints use a snap ring to retain the joint on the drive axle shaft. 1622. Refer to Figure 129-28. After releasing the snap ring, most CV joints can be tapped off the shaft using a brass or shot-filled plastic, dead blow, hammer. Refer to Figure 129-29. Typical outer CV joint after removing the boot and the joint from the drive axle shaft. This joint was removed from the vehicle because a torn boot was found. After disassembly and cleaning, this joint was found to be okay and was put back into service. Even though the grease looks terrible, there was enough grease in the joint to provide lubrication to prevent any wear from occurring. Refer to Figure 129-30. The cage of this Rezepa type CV joint is being carefully inspected before being reassembled. Refer to Figure 129-31. Be sure to use all of the grease supplied with the replacement joint or boot kit. Use only the grease supplied and do not use substitute grease. Refer to Figure 129-32. A punch being used to keep the rotor from rotating while torquing the axle shaft spindle nut. Case study. The vibrating Buick. The owner of a front-wheel drive Buick complained that it vibrated during acceleration only. The vehicle would also pull toward one side during acceleration. An inspection discovered a worn, or, cracked, engine mount. After replacing the mount, the CV joint angles were restored and both the vibration and the pulling to one side during acceleration were solved. See Figure 129-33. The summary. The complaint: owner complained about a vibration and a pull to one side during acceleration. The cause: a defective engine mount which caused the CV joint angles to be unequal, causing the vibration and pulling during acceleration. The correction: the engine mount was replaced and the customer concern was solved. Refer to Figure 129-33. The engine had to be raised higher to get the new, non-collapsed, engine mount installed. Drive axle shaft replacement. Step by step. Step 1. Tools needed to replace a drive axle shaft on a General Motors vehicle include a drift, sockets, plus a pry bar bearing axle shaft special tool. Step 2. The drive axle shaft retaining nut can be loosened with the tire on the ground, or use a drift inserted into the rotor cooling fins before removing the nut. Step 3. Using a special tool to push the drive axle splines from the bearing assembly. Step 4. Remove the disc brake caliper and support it out of the way. Then, remove the disc brake rotor. Step 5. The lower ball joint could have been removed instead of disconnecting the strut from the knuckle so that the alignment could be retained. Step 6. A pry bar is used to separate the inner drive axle shaft joint from the transaxle. Step 7. After the inner joint splines have been released from the transaxle, carefully remove the drive axle shaft assembly from the vehicle. Step 8. After the inner joint splines have been released from the transaxle, carefully remove the drive axle shaft assembly from the vehicle. And Step 9. Reinstall the disc brake rotor and caliper and then torque the drive axle shaft retaining nut to factory specifications. Review questions. Question 1. What two items should be checked when inspecting a drive shaft? Question 2. What steps are necessary to measure drive shaft U-joint working angles? Question 3. What is the procedure for replacing a card and type U-joint? Question 4. How is a CV joint replaced? Question 5. What is a prevailing torque nut? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Two technicians are discussing U-joints. Technician A says that a defective U-joint could cause a loud clunk when the transmission is shifted between drive and reverse. Technician B says, a worn U-joint can cause a clicking sound only when driving the vehicle in reverse. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 2. A card and type U-joint may require what tools to replace? A. A special tool. B. A torch. C. A press, or a vise. D. May require any of the above. Question 3. Incorrect or unequal U-joint working angles are most likely to be caused by A. A bent drive shaft. B. A collapsed engine or transmission mount. C. A dry output shaft spline. D. Defective or damaged U-joints. Question 4. Front and rear drive shaft U-joint working angles should be within how many degrees of each other? A. 0.5. B. 1.0. Circa 3.0. D. 4.0. Question 5. What could be a symptom of a defective U-joint? A. A vibrations at highway speed. B. A clicking sound. C. A clunking sound. D. Any of the above. Question 6. A defective outer CV joint will usually make A. Rumbling noise. B. Growling noise. C. Clicking noise. D. Clunking noise. Question 7. The last step after installing a replacement CV boot is to A. Burp the boot. B. Lubricate the CV joint with chassis grease. C. Mark the location of the boot on the drive axle shaft. D. Separate the CV joint before installation. Question 8. What needs to be removed to replace a drive axle shaft from a front-wheel drive vehicle? A. Tie rod end. B. Lower control arm or ball joint. C. Hub nut. D. All of the above. Question 9. The splines of the drive shaft yoke should be lubricated to prevent A. A vibration. B. Spline bind. C. Rust. D. Transmission fluid leaking from the extension housing. Question 10. What is recommended to install the drive axle shaft to avoid damage to the hub bearing? A. Torque wrench. B. Cordless impact wrench. C. Pickle fork. D. Hub bearing puller. End of chapter 129.